You're listening to The Record on KUOW 94.9 Seattle News and Information. A couple of weeks ago, a fire destroyed a Bellevue mosque, which is where the church next door comes in. Members of that Mormon church offered to share their building to give their neighbors a place to pray. I sat down this morning with Gordon Wilson, a member of the Mormon congregation there, and Tanvir Rahman, who is a board member of the Islamic Center of East Side. Tanvir told me how he found out about the fire at his mosque.
Early around 3 o'clock, got woken up by a phone call from another member of the board and said the mosque is on fire. So it quickly became very, very, dramatic for us. It was surreal.
How bad was the damage? What did it look like?
Oh, it looked like horrible. It looked like, as the daylight was breaking in, you could see, the extensiveness of the damage as well as the gravity of the damage. And it was a freezing night. So, as the water was coming out of, the fire hose, and it falling down, it was freezing. So it was it was slippery and it was really cold. And we tried to figure out what should we do? What should we do next? So city offered already a space for the congregation. So this is how the day started, going forward.
You needed a place to pray.
Yes.
Gordon, that's where you come in.
Well, eventually, yes.
Yeah. What was your first thought when you heard about the arson right next door?
It's shocking. Of course. And nobody knows at first what the cause was. So the possibility of it being a hate crime is something that crosses your mind, especially when there has been some vandalism of the Bellevue Mosque and twice of the Redmond Mosque.
Right. That sign got damaged in Redmond.
Yes, it was. So that's one thought that always crosses your mind.
And the police, my understanding is that the arsonist, he didn't really talk much about Muslims, right? I mean, it's not considered a hate crime?
No, he so far what we know is that as an individual he was known to the he came by before, so it's not somebody completely unknown to the community, and but he he's probably someone who needs medical attention, so he for whatever reason decided to come in the morning and be there and do this.
Yeah, I found out that afternoon, Saturday afternoon, my son called me from Utah and told me, and I looked up the Seattle Times online, and then my wife and I drove over there and saw it. And it's very sobering to see a building that you're so familiar with a bunch of black timbers.
How did you come to offer your church as a place to pray for members of the mosque?
I'm sure you received offers from many other churches as well. The big question is, how can we help? And other churches also made the same offer of space, but we happen to be right next door. And now it took a few days to work out the details. Whenever you're sharing space and schedule in a physical facility, you have to figure out quite a few details and get some approvals. But by Wednesday of the following week, we had those approvals. And I got an email that night from the from our bishop, our current bishop, telling me that we would be sharing the space. And I immediately thought, hooray, same thing everyone else thought. We're all happy to help. And my wife and I drove over there, and she made a little welcome sign, and we taped it up to the windows, and because we knew they'd be starting the next morning.
What went through your mind?
It was very emotional because, as you can imagine, there are investigations going on from the, we're helping with the investigation, as well as it's a constant kind of, space struggle. This is more than help. I mean, this is like, because it's just next door. You don't even have to say anything. You can just put an arrow pointing, prayer next door. And so it was in a way surreal that it was coming together because, we were looking for a temporary solution. And the solution was just from my neighbor. And it's just,
a godsend.
It's a godsend, right, exactly.
Was there any religious or cultural hesitation about your mosque members, Muslims, praying in the Mormon church on either side? Is there an issue there?
To be honest, I think there were some hesitation because of the unknown factors. not because of any known factor. So we didn't know, you know, if we would offend someone by doing something. So the day one, when we met with the, you know, the council and the president, we asked those questions that, you know, we'll just want to lay it down. I mean, this is extremely gracious of you to offer us the space. But, you know, we know our community. So unless you tell us, you know, we wouldn't know, you know. So, for example, you know, some of the stuff we're made aware. I myself learned, for example, the coffee and, you know, the tea and other things that are not, you know.
You're not going to bring coffee and tea into your services.
Exactly. You know, and something that, you know, if you do not know, then you wouldn't, you know, consider. And what Sheikh Fazal does very well, our imam, is that after every prayer, they said, okay, you know, brothers, if you're going to have coffee, you know, leave it there. Don't bring the coffee into this property, you know. And no, of course, we mainstream, you know, Islam, we don't, smoking is not something that is encouraged. But, you know, still, if someone does it, I mean, we don't want to know about it. But most importantly, don't do it here. Mm-hmm. Don't do it in the parking. So a lot of this.
No
rules,
alcohol. You shared that in common.
That was an easy one. Yes. That was an easy one.
But notice in Tanvir's answer that the concerns that they had had to do with not giving offense. So it wasn't a theological issue. It was, how do we be gracious neighbors?
Any neighbor feels a certain, well, that's them and this is us. And now you're compounding it with religion and, you know, language and accent and skin. I mean, was there any, you make it sound all like it came together very easily, but I'm wondering what that mix has been like.
That was one reason we felt like a welcome sign was important. Now, we had previously, the Sunday before that, put a couple of poster boards out on a table in our church, and members of the church had written notes to express their condolences to the mosque for the fire. And we laminated that and taped it up to the mosque itself. But when we learned they were going to be having their prayers in our building, we went and retrieved those posters from the mosque and taped them up on the glass, sliding glass door, and put them there, and also made this little welcome sign.
Do you remember what any of it said?
Well, there was one from a little boy that said, "I hope your mosque gets better." And he's about 7 years old. We just knew there has to be some trepidation from a congregation that has just been traumatized by an arson fire. So we wanted to, as part of our effort to be gracious hosts, we know how gracious they are. they are the nicest people in the world. We wanted to make sure we were trying to be nice also.
And here, Tanvir, your members were, they didn't know if they'd just been the victim of a hate crime. And this talk has been swirling around anyway. And
yes,
you had the vandalism in Redmond.
Yes.
You used the word traumatized.
Yes. You know, we're living in strange times. And, you know, of course, you know, when you see, because, you know, the mosque has received some, you know, vandalism in the past. And we try to deal with it, right? So we have a very good relationship with the police. We have a very good relationship with the city. And we try to kind of, you know, make people aware so that in case there was something that, you know, someone would do something like in Redmond, we would know, you know, what to do. But that didn't take away the element of worry from the larger congregation. I think the number one question in most people's mind is that, okay, you know, are we targeted? So all these things come to your mind, and you want answers. You want answers more. You have more questions than answers, and then that creates a sentiment of fear, stress, and you want to have some level of comfort of knowing that there's a community. There's, you know, we can come together, and I think that has happened at a great. I mean, you know, the press conference happened the very day, you know, and the next day we had another one, town hall. So things happened very fast, but it happened so, it was so well organized that people felt the love and outpouring support, you know.
Let me mention that town hall meeting. The Sunday night, this was about 18 hours after the fire, the city had organized a meeting at the Sammamish High School auditorium, and I happened to be there. That room was packed. And it looked, to my observation, you can confirm or correct me, Tanvir, but it looked to me like about 2/3 to 3/4 of the people there did not appear to be Muslim. It was the community,
yes,
showing by their presence and their applause and the things they wrote on the poster boards outside of the room that they care and that the Muslims
That's
belong
correct.
In our community. They're part of us. And that was a strong message. And I think, this is not just about the Mormons and the Muslims. This is an entire community who really cares.
Your Muslim community was surprised?
Was completely overwhelmed, yes.
Overwhelmed?
Yes.
Was that not their experience of like where they fit in the community?
So think from this perspective, the expectations were that, for many immigrants, the experience from abroad is a little bit different. Most of the reports that we hear about, whether mosque being vandalized or it's where truly the mosque is the victim of this, situation. And you really feel that, the atmosphere is kind of, feeding that. Here, the atmosphere is completely the opposite. It's in support. So that kind of, feeling, that belonging, I think it's very, very, it's very touching. It is emotional.
Mm-hmm. And now how has the relationship changed between your congregations next door to one another? How are things different today?
I feel from our end that it has improved. The relationship in the past was mostly between the leaders of the two congregations, and now it's much more casual, informal, comfortable among everyday people, and that's a positive. Last Sunday, Adil Alarici from the mosque came and spoke at one of our church services and conducted a question and answer session, 15 or 20 minutes, and it was very helpful. And
do you remember what anybody asked?
Well, many of the men were asking, how do I be polite and be respectful of the Muslim women? How do you avoid giving offense? What are the prayers like? Just questions like that.
Yes. Also, we have received some of the members in during our congregation because, we said, okay, you're welcome to, come and, join us. We're just praying, and if you want to come and observe us and have questions, that we also opened that door.
Did your congregants have questions for the Mormons?
I think so. I think there were some.
Coffee or tea? Come on.
How do you do that?
I'm sure there are things everybody's learning. But I have had zero negative feedback. Nobody complaining. Many people expressing gratitude that we're able to help.
That is not the story we're hearing in this country.
Well, I've been thinking about this too. Something like this shouldn't be newsworthy.
That's right.
It's common decency, honestly, and it's very obvious from in our faith. Jesus said, "Love your neighbor." When he was asked, "What does that mean? Who's your neighbor?" He told the story of the Good Samaritan, meaning don't put limits on who you consider to be your neighbor. In this case, we don't even have to go on the road to Jericho to find our neighbor; they're right next door, It was a no-brainer. And the fact that it's considered newsworthy, I think, is a contrast. It's because it's a contrast to the tension that exists in the national climate. But I think it's a lesson for all of us that the local takes precedence over the national, particular takes precedence over abstract.
Absolutely.
And when these are real people right next door, of course you're going to help. And the common decency is a lot more common than most people realize.
Do you think the arson and this cultural exchange has changed anyone's politics in either of your congregations?
I don't assume that anybody has changed their politics because of this, because I think most of our local members don't think this has anything to do with politics.
That's right.
This is just helping your neighbors. And it's not a political thing at all.
But that our feeling about our neighbors can translate into politics.
It's possible that some people will have had a shift in their views, but I certainly can't predict that.
Yeah.
It's just very particular to these people who are next door who need help.
So then finally, gentlemen, what is the lesson from your point of view? What's to be learned from what happened, the flames and then the response together, your mosque and church coming together?
It's reassuring to know, that we are part of the Bellevue fabric. We're part of the, Lake Hills. We're part of the, it's very local, and it's really reassuring to know that, we have the same values, we share the street, but also the sentiments. I think that's how I would draw the line, that, it gives you a sense of belonging.
Another lesson for me is that this Bellevue community really responded in a positive way to an attack on one subset of that community. And when you get face-to-face contact, all the theoretical political discussions don't matter very much.
Tanvir Rahman, board member of the Islamic Center of East Side, Gordon Wilson, director of public affairs for the Bellevue Stake of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Thank you both for getting together and then telling us about it.
Thank you.
Thank you.